Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Welcome back, TJZ. So we have Key. No J, no Z, but you got me.
Man, it's the summertime, man.
It still is. Other than feel like it.
Not
lately.
Here.
No. You happy to be back in New York. You know you're happy to be back in New York, though.
I got off the plane yesterday. It was raining. I got out of the bed this morning after I was called by my producer and woke me up. As I would have
a great story that
showed
is.
Up at 7 a.m. instead
you
of
coming to work today.
Yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, I'm coming, man. I'm about to come right now. Why are you calling me?
I'm right outside. You were not.
I was sleeping, but I mean, it's cool to be back in New York. No question about it. But I'm not looking to be cloudy and drizzly. I'm coming from sunshine.
I know you are.
I mean, look at the tan.
You look good.
I'm looking good.
No. You look great. You do. You look great. You look
consumed
rested.
A lot of alcohol, though. Ugh.
Yeah, we got to discuss.
A lot of alcohol.
Us, like, really locking in, like, fitness-wise in the fall.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm off the sauce now.
Now.
When I was on vacation, though, sauce.
Well, that's like, what vacation. Literally. But that's vacation, though. Isn't
it's
that
like,
vacation's all
and
about?
And then the people that I hang around. They need to go see the alcohol people, Alcohol Anonymous. They
that bad?
Oh, man, to the point where I'm just like, come on.
It's
like
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but not here.
Jeez, like every day. Yeah. Like literally, though, every day. And then you get caught, you know, you get pulled into it because you don't want to sit there and be like a lame.
Well, everybody else looks like they're having a great time, and you're not at that level. So you're like, all right,
I
got to jump in.
I can get at that level. I just don't. I mean, I could, without sipping and having a cocktail, I can get at the level and be fine. But you look lame when you sit there and everybody else is drinking.
And you're just on vacation. You want to let
you're
loose.
Chilling,
right, have
and
fun.
And you're out eating literally like every day, every night. There's lunch. You're like, you're always eating with somebody.
Yep.
I think I paid for one dinner.
What?
The entire time I was gone.
How so?
Because all my friends and stuff was taking
care of you?
They was taking care. I met with our guy, Jim Ornstein. We had lunch. I didn't pay.
I was on that call. We were on a three-way call together.
Oh, yeah,
you guys were planning
right.
your lunch, and I felt really left out.
I was nowhere near
L.A.
I was going to run it up on him, but I had dinner a few hours later, so I didn't want to run up the bill and order too much. But I was going to get him. Oh, I was going to get him. He lucked out on the lunch part, because if it was dinner, I was getting ready
but
to get
you
him.
You know, if he's paying for your dinner, you actually paid for that dinner. You know that, right?
Based on the representation, yes, I do get it, based on the representation. But yeah, when you think about it, every single day, I was at somebody's house, at a pool, something, or we were going to dinner. So I literally only paid for, I believe, one dinner the entire time I was there.
That's beautiful. Now, don't you get tired of L.A., though, like in a way where you're like, I need a break. I need some New York. I got to get back to New York. I need a break.
I'm glad to be back to work because, according to some, I never work.
No.
You know, which to me is like, interesting, because I always thought that I always work and I never take off.
Right. We have a complaint department that has some messages in it that we'll get to at the end of the show, because we always like to do that before we do call roulette, and we'll certainly do that. We want you to be part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As a Jets fan, I feel like I wanted to drink early and often after seeing the results of the first scrimmage, the green and white practice, you know, that whole setup. You remember that from your Jet days, right?
I don't remember.
20,000 people are watching the number 2 overall pick, the quarterback. There is no safety net. There's no backup. There's no vet.
So they go into the stadium and 20,000 people showed up?
Yeah.
See, we didn't have that. We practiced at Hofstra, and that was pretty much it for us.
That was fun. The Hofstra days was fun when they did the scrimmage there. That was always fun. But this was a bigger deal, a bigger crowd, under the lights, the whole thing. And, Zach Wilson didn't exactly have a great debut.
He zacked it.
You could say that. 11 of 24, 112 yards, 2 hours. Now, no live tackling, obviously, so it's not real, but simulated. All right, simulated game. He was critical of himself, yes, which I was glad to hear him say that, and sounded like somebody that was a fan watching him. Take a listen.
Not great. You know, I have high expectations for myself and for this offense. And, you know, I got to lead those guys. I got to make better decisions. But, you know, that's why this isn't, you know, game one. That's why we're doing this. And I understand that. Of course, I'm going to be frustrated at myself. But, you know, I'm going to go back in the film room and, you know, find out what I can learn and get better from.
How am I supposed to feel, Key? Am I overreacting?
I think right now, anybody that's a Jet fan is overreacting. You got to understand how scrimmages or practice sessions are scripted, right? The defense kind of knows exactly where the offensive player is going to be. And sometimes guys are falling into positions that they shouldn't be in. Even if you are going up against the first team unit. The first team unit sometimes, they know, okay, he's getting ready to run an out, and they're squatting on it. They're just not doing what you expect for them to do. And so it'd be interesting to see if this trend for him continues in training camp, or for some reason they decide to script something different and not tell the defense what exactly it is, because we used to do that, where the defense is all of a sudden getting the best of us because they know what's coming, and we get off script, and then bombs away, and they're sitting there like, yo, you didn't know that was coming. You know everything else, so you look like a hero. So it'll be interesting to see. It's interesting to see. I wasn't there. I didn't watch it. What exactly – if I was up top, I could see everything that's going on, and I can then tell you what he was doing wrong, or if it was his fault. Because all you're hearing is he threw two interceptions. He was – you know, whatever the statistics said, but they were not good. There's a reason that happened. Was the reason him, or was the reason the defense, or was the balls falling off receivers' hands? Like, what was the real reason other than he was throwing the ball to the other team?
A couple of guys, well, I think they were doing a red zone. One got tipped on one of those situations.
So there you go. Yeah, there's a
Mosley
tip.
Made the play.
There's a tip.
Do you think with crowd of 20,000, how do you think the crowd reacted to the number 2 overall pick and his performance?
Oh, God, what are we doing here? I mean, that's, yeah, Jet fans. Fans in general.
We could have had Trey Lance. We could have had Justin All Fields.
That. Because they don't – you don't
How's
ever –
How's Sam doing?
You don't ever want to minimize the fans' education the way the game is being played. But in all honesty, sometimes the fans don't even know what they're looking at. All they know is that there's an interception being thrown, or the ball's being turned over. They don't really understand that a guy whiffed on this side, so this is the reason that his throw was hurried. He didn't get a chance to step into it because somebody was right at his feet. You know, they don't get all of the little technical stuff. All they see is the results, and the results didn't go in his favor, so they ready to send him back to Provo, Utah.
Well, according to Rich Cimini, who's covered the Jets for a very long time, the crowd was supportive.
Okay.
You didn't hear boos.
I don't know
step.
That they would boo.
But I also think, like you said, what do you expect? He's very young. He's the guy, right? Like, this is it. Like, whether he plays bad or not, he's the guy. So this is going to be a baptism by fire. This is going to be, you're going to learn on the job. You're going to figure it out. That's what this is going to be for the Jets and Zach Wilson.
I just wonder what Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh really are thinking when there's no veteran quarterback behind him. Even if the veteran quarterback never took a snap, you pay that guy the minimum, and he's there to teach. I really want to know process.
They have Josh Johnson, but
no. But I'm talking about.
I know.
I'm talking about a real vet.
But this is why now, with what happened in Indianapolis with the Colts and their issues, obviously with Carson Wentz, if they are going to make a move for Nick Foles, you almost have to, right? If you're the Jets, you've got to give that. You've got to be in that conversation, don't you? You have to be in that conversation.
Because it's going to take too much to get Nick Foles. And you're not ready to win right now.
They don't need him. The Bears don't need him.
Yeah, but if I got bidding war going on and I'm the Bears, and I know you need him, and you need him.
Six-round pick?
I don't know what the number would be, but I may not be willing to give up a six if somebody else is – or Chicago may not be willing to take a six because Indy will give them a four. Now what?
Indy would give them a four.
They need him.
Well, Carson Wentz could be back in October.
Yep. You sit around and you go 1-3. You're done.
Fair. Like I said, I just feel like from the Jets' perspective, they really look like they are all in with this player, with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. We're not even Urban Meyer is naming Trevor Lawrence his starter, even though we all know that.
Man,
it's
preseason, man.
Right. But still, like they're all in with this kid. And, all right, so let this be
They just got to find a vet. It's got to be a – and I don't know off the
beginning.
I don't know off the top of my head, Alan, what veteran quarterback is just at home chilling right now, but there's got to be a guy that is just there that you could kind of like
– capable enough to take over if he's not ready for week 1. That's what I guess you worry about the most. because their defense is going to be pretty good. The defense is not going to be terrible.
See,
they've got some weapons offensively. They've got a better offensive line. It's can
maybe they
he
just
be good
run
enough?
The ball every now. I don't know. I don't know what the Jets are thinking.
All right. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin brought to you by Goodyear. Movement is always driving us forward, whether it's on the track, the court, or on the field. Every move we make, every road we choose to go down, and every single mile marker we pass leads us to find out just how far we can go. Goodyear, more driven. And over the weekend, on Sunday morning, the news came of the passing of Bobby Bowden. He had been suffering. He had pancreatic cancer at the age of 91, lived just a full life, obviously a legendary coach, a great coach. And to talk about him and really to understand what he was, more than just the coach that we know him as, the best person to bring in is somebody who learned from him and took over for him at Florida State, and that is Jimbo Fisher, who joins us right now, the Texas A&M head coach on the Goodyear Hotline. Jimbo, good morning. Condolences for the loss of Bobby Bowden. And I think the best way to begin the conversation with you is to ask you what's your best memory of the first time you met him.
You know, the first time I ever met him, my memories, I coached with him. I was with Terry and Jeff. Sometimes we would go down to watch Florida State practice. I would stay at his house. I mean, things like that. But I remember the first time I ever really got to sit down and talk to him, because I played for Terry at the time I was in college, and just the genuineness of how he treated you, what he did, the way he made you feel like in the first 2 minutes that he talked to you was unbelievable. But then you're in awe. I'm in awe because I'm talking to Bobby Bowden, what he did offensively. And we ran, when I played, we ran the exact offense. I mean, called it exactly the same thing because Terry ran it and those things. It was an amazing deal. But my best memories come from some of the best ones anyway. When they have the Manning Passing Academy now, mm-hmm. you know, with the high school kids. Mm-hmm. That actually came from the Bowden Academy. The Bowdens were the first one to ever do that in the late 80s. We had all receivers and quarterbacks from all over the country. Matter of fact, Peyton was in it. I was a senior counselor that we did in that group. And just at night, sitting around, after everybody went back, he'd be in the dorm, go back in the rooms with us, with the coaches and all the coaches and the counselors. He'd put his feet up, take his socks off, put his feet up on the table, and tell stories about guys he recruited, old high school stories. But then all of a sudden, the game knowledge, people start asking questions. And the ability for me as a young guy to sit and absorb all the things, it's almost like, you know, if your dad's a coach and you follow him around, you don't realize what you absorb until you get older and you start applying those things because you hear them and see them every day. And I would just listen to the stories. And at such a young age, it was unbelievable the knowledge I kept retaining and going back to when I started coaching. And I remember the first time I became an offensive coordinator, I was 24 at Stanford. And I was going into the 91 season. They were preseason number one. Well, in the 90 year, they had a great season. And I remember Terry took me to the bowl game, and I sat in every one of Bobby's meetings just in the back against the wall and watched him organize his staff. Then the offensive meetings, how he structured it, and then how he got the game plan together. And I got to sit in the box and listen to him call the game on a headset where there was no I couldn't talk. I was just listening to him and learning. And so many things you learn, and just how he was as a coach, but then how genuine and how he was as a person. I mean, it was a mark. When I say this, I don't think there's a better coach and gentleman that's ever coached the game of football. And I don't mean that in any slight to anybody else. I just think that much of him.
Coach Fisher, what was the conversation like when you joined Florida State staff and you became the head coach in waiting?
You know what was funny? They were recruiting me to leave, when I left LSU to come back over, Bobby and I met together and we talked. And see, it was not like a normal job interview. It was almost like your dad come to get you and said, hey, why don't you come back over here? You know what I mean? He'd go over here and come on. Because, I mean, it really was, because I felt so comfortable. The conversation we had was unbelievable. I mean, it was about ball, but it was about the future, what we did. But here's the thing. That was never a guarantee. Everybody assumed that was a thing that wasn't done until I got to Florida State. That was not a thing that was ever spoken of or said to me on the way over there. Now, Bob, I guess maybe they had plans for that later on. That was never there, and it was an opportunity in which, and I say that at the time, I had 7 job opportunities at that time. Here's what I saw as a man, and I knew before I had to be a head coach, there were some things about Coach Bowden. I was around him to death, but I never coached with him on a staff. I knew I wanted to get those years of experience. I had a bunch of job opportunities to be coordinators, even some NFL jobs, head coaching jobs in college. I knew I wanted to get a couple years under him just how he actually did it on a day-to-day basis where I could see it even better and to be a head coach. And it was like, hey, come on, buddy, let's go back home where we always started, because I was always a Florida State fan. I grew up on in that family. I grew up loving Florida State as a kid and being around it and playing. I just became a Florida State fan. And him coming over and tapping, and I had 7 job opportunities. I always say this. And it was by far the least job opportunity I ever took. My money-wise, it was probably $300,000 less than any job I had offered to me at the present time. And I went. And I always tell kids this, and I always tell young coaches this. Don't ever take – I mean, you know, we make the money, we make tons of money. But when you got to be ready for the jobs you got. And there was another piece of that puzzle I had to have. And Bobby Bowden was the piece that I had to finalize to learn how to be a great head coach. And I wanted that piece, and money wasn't a part of it. It was about the people you were around. And that's where I was so fortunate as a young guy to be around Bobby, be around Terry, be around Jeff, be around Tommy, and that whole family to teach me how to coach and to put the things in how I wanted to do things and how they did things. And that's how I still do them.
What type of pressure did you feel taking over Florida State for Coach Bowden when you knew, okay, I'm getting ready to get this job?
Big shoes to fill.
Listen, the legacy of what you had and what the expectations were for him being there. I mean, 34 straight bowl games. I mean, they went 14 years in the top 5. No one had ever done that. 14 10-win seasons in a row, and that's when you're only playing 12 games with a bowl game. I mean, no one had ever done that. And so the expectations were high. The pressure was high. But like Coach Bowden said, and I always remember him saying this, hey, buddy, if you're doing things the right way, pressure's not a problem. It's never a problem for you, because if you believe in yourself. And he always said that you got to believe in yourself, believe in what you're doing, and be able to get it to your people, and don't worry about the outcomes and the results, and it'll work out. God has a way of working it out, and he always used God in everything he ever did, and he was right.
Jimbo Fisher joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, of Texas A&M head coach, as we talk about the life and the legacy of Bobby Bowden, who passed away Sunday at the age of 91. So you take over as head coach, you go on to win a national championship at Florida State in 2013. Mm-hmm. What was the conversation like that you had with him when you were heading to that championship game and then after you won that title?
Bobby was a guy who delegated authority. He was a guy who, if he gave you a job and he'd give you some peace and he saw something there, he adjusted it and made it. He let you do your job, and he always say, you've done a great job. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let anybody try to. And he said, don't do anything different. Do what you do and do what you do well, and don't worry about it. And you know, it's funny because everybody always said, Bobby always told me, he said this back in the 80s. He said, now understand something. When you take this job, I'm not going to come around for a while. And I said, I understand. Because he had said this to me. I heard him say it back when I was in those conversations in the 80s and 90s. He said, because when I get done, it's not right for the other head coach to come around. So everybody be asking questions. And the greatest thing, one of the reasons we had so much success, and I had constant conversations with him on the phone. We would call, and we always used to go sit in his office and have conversations. And Clint Purvis, our team chaplain, used to hear some of our conversations sometimes with somebody. He would just give me wisdom. You know, we'd just sit and have hour-long conversations, sometimes two-hour-long conversations. He had an unbelievable memory and history of the game. His memory was unbelievable. Even in late age, it was crazy. But, you know, he said, because I don't want everybody saying, well, Bobby didn't do it that way. So we would have tons of conversations privately. I have a call, just like we had one month before he got sick and then talked after. But he said, but, you know, because I want you to be able to do it your way. It's unfair for old coaches to hang around and everybody saying, well, that ain't the way that's done. That ain't. He said, you got to do it your way. And that's what he told me going to that national championship. He said, you've done it perfectly all year. Don't change a thing. He said, do it your way. Do what you believe. Trust yourself and go. And that's what he always was. He delegated it and he trusted people. And he always gave you, he got a way of talking to you that gave you supreme confidence in yourself.
Head coach Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M head coach, that is, in national championship in 2013 for the Florida State Seminoles, are joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Coach, you coached under two Bowdens, obviously, Bobby at Florida State and Terry at Samford, along with Auburn. How proud was Coach Bowden of his two sons to be able to coach in Division I football?
I mean, unbelievable that they all fought. And Tommy, too. And Tommy, you know, Tommy was a head coach and did a great job. And Tommy's with us at Auburn. I mean, they lived, eat, and breathe football. I mean, they really did. I mean, they talked constantly. I mean, it would be on the phone. If Bobby saw something and he didn't say, they'd be on the phone to each other. And Terry called. Now, Terry called Bobby. Now, he had a heck of a resource. They'd call him, and Bobby would get the answers immediately. They talked constantly. That's why they did the Bowden Academy, that passing academy, and they would sit there. They were going for 2 weeks. They would sit there every night at night just – throwing and catching balls all day and then talking ball all night. I mean, Bobby was extremely proud of his kids, and his kids were highly successful in what he did. Terry was under. I mean, Terry, remember, Terry won 20 games in a row with Auburn.
Yeah.
First 20 games in a row. It was unbelievable. Tommy had tremendous success at Tulane and Clemson. And then Jeff was a tremendous assistant. As always, with him and Terry were always together. Like I say, they were always on staff with me. He was my offense coordinator when I played, and Terry was the head coach and called the plays. And Bobby had an off weekend, and one of those guys were playing, he was sitting in the stands at the game. And I'm going to tell you, when you're sitting there as a young coach and all of a sudden Bobby comes in your offensive staff meeting or something here, when he was coming up here to visit and what's going on, he never tried to get in the way, but just him walking around, the presence of it was amazing. But every off weekend, I remember him coming to our games all the time.
Yeah, you know, the way you talk about it, it sounds like, you know, it was part of a family business, and you, Jimbo, sound like you were part of the family business as well. So I imagine, again, that the reflection that you have today is certainly one of a unique perspective. Thanks so much for the time. It was great to talk to you. All the best.
All right, Coach.
Thank you guys for having me. Mm-hmm.
All
right, have a great day.
Jimbo Fisher, again, on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, so when we get back into the NFL side of football, it was a historic class, and now it comes with a historic reward. We'll discuss that after Key has this from Goodyear.
Every move we make pushes us forward, whether it's on the track, the court, or the field. Movement is how we make our impression on the world. It's part of who we are. And when we pursue it with everything we've got, it shows us who we'll become. Every move we make, every road we choose to go down, every mile maker we pass takes us to a new place and shows the world just how far we can go. Goodyear, more driven.
Josh Allen, $258 million. We knew that this was going to happen.
What this Josh Allen deal did was set the floor for Baker Mayfield. There is a premium for guys that are selected number one overall.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in with Key this morning and over the weekend. Big contract in the NFL. It's always who's the next one due for a contract. Josh was one of a couple of quarterbacks due for their contract extension off their rookie deals as the 2018 class now is up to get paid, and he's the first one to get paid. Josh Allen gets 6 years, $258 million overall, $150 guaranteed. And Key, you say that is obviously the most important number, is the guaranteed number.
Yeah, $150 million guaranteed. You know, the $258, he's going to get there. They're not giving you $150 million not for you to get to the $258. I mean, the only way you don't get to the $258 is if something bad happens
right
to you. You know, because you're only going to get better. He's not going to get worse. He's going to get better. And when you look at it, That was the right thing for the Bills to do. We talked about it months ago. Who would go first? Lamar, Baker, Josh. Somebody has to go after Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
He went. Therefore, he got the 150. And Brandon Bean done a tremendous job of building this roster
right
for the Buffalo Bills to be in playoff contention every single year. So you pay your quarterback. That's what it is. I don't even see why people even would question why the next guy in line would supersede Josh Allen's contract. That's the way it goes. Next in line gets paid. That's just what happened.
His annual higher than what Dak Prescott got at $44 million. But obviously the story, like you said, in Buffalo. So let's go around the league. Let's begin in Buffalo with the reaction to Josh Allen getting this extension. Here is Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN's Bills reporter, on why the Bills did this now.
This is a loud vote of confidence from Brandon Bean in Josh Allen, not just in Josh as a quarterback, but as a person and as a leader. He actually said he's known for a while that Josh Allen was going to be worthy of an extension like this. It just came, it was a matter of being smart with your funds when they had him under rookie contract control for so long. But it's also a vote of confidence from Brandon Bean in his staff, the front office and coaches, the job that they've been able to do developing Allen, developing players, and putting a support system around him. So if he continues at this rate, the Bills are going to be competitive for a long time.
And Stephon Diggs certainly a big part of that. When they brought him in, that was a huge addition for him. Josh Allen does a lot of running, but doesn't need to do a lot of running. They want to keep him certainly as healthy as possible, but you're paying him for the potential of what he can become, because he was an MVP candidate last year. Didn't win it, obviously, but they have high expectations, not just for him as an individual, but for what he can be for this team and what they can become.
As long as they can keep everybody happy, and Stephon Diggs will be next. He'll be looking for new money at some point in time as well, and they will address it because they know how important he is to the development of their young quarterback in Josh Allen. He's only gotten better every single year. Yeah, MVP, yeah, he got a few votes, whatever. That's not important to me. His play on the field is what's important. How does he become that quarterback that they paid him to be, because that's Super Bowl winning quarterback money that they've given him.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's not the end contract. He'll build off of this contract to make
he'll
even
make
more money.
He'll make $600 million from the Bills by the time his career is over.
I can't believe you just said that without even pausing. Excuse me. Meanwhile, he was an MVP candidate. Lamar Jackson has won an MVP already. He's also from this class. In fact, the last quarterback taken in that first round of this class. So what are the Ravens now going to do based off of this contract offered to Josh Allen? Jameson Hensley, ESPN Ravens reporter, had this to say.
Josh Allen's big money extension likely sets the starting point now between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Jackson will probably be looking at a deal that pays him between Allen at $43 million per season and Patrick Mahomes at $45 million per year. Now, a long-term deal between Jackson and Baltimore is expected at some point. Both sides have talked like this is just a formality, but there really hasn't been any sense of urgency to get it done. A deal might not even get done until next offseason. Jackson is under contract for 2 years, and the Ravens, they just don't have a lot of cap space. And Jackson knows if he puts together another big year, he can further validate why his next contract should surpass the one given to Josh Allen.
Key, I'll tell you what. I don't like this because injury to me. I would rather, if I'm his agent, I want it now. I do not want to wait till the offseason. I see Josh Allen just set a bar. All right, we now are going over that bar. You're right. Actually, I mentioned that his mother represents him. So I don't like this thinking. I think it should be done now.
Well, that's not his thinking. That's the individual who just had on's thinking of what could potentially take place. I mean, you're only talking about an eight-month window to get a deal done. The conversations have already started. So whatever is there is there.
What's there to talk about? Now you've got a bar. It's set.
Yeah,
what's there to talk
but
about?
But there's numbers that are there that they've already discussed.
Okay.
And so let's assume it doesn't go as well as planned right now. He's playing, still playing with house money. He's good. I personally wouldn't wait till next offseason, just because that's just not how I operate.
$150 million guaranteed is more than house money.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, I get it. But if I'm him, I certainly would try and get something done at some point in time. I mean, for Baltimore, they want to see Josh Allen's contract. Mm-hmm. His contract has to come into the NFL, the NFLPA. Lamar's mom and whoever represents her and lawyers, what they got to get the contract. They got to look at the language. They got to see how the money's paid out, all those sort of things. Sure. Then they look at that as a template to go back to Baltimore and say, look, here's the numbers. Here's what the language says. This is where we should be, or this is where we feel we should be. And Baltimore wants to pay Lamar. Baltimore's not saying, well, we don't want to pay him.
No. Clearly they want to pay him. I just what Jameson
you cringe
Hensley
at the fact Jameson Hensley, you cringe at the fact that next offseason. You don't like that.
Yeah, when he said that, like there's no hurry here. There's no urgency here. Oh, no. I just saw a guy in my class that I've already got an MVP, and he got $150 million guaranteed. Yeah, there's urgency for me to get
but
that
see,
signed.
You're thinking more like a reporter, fan, less like a professional athlete.
What?
You know,
because like an agent, I want my guy signed now.
See, but the professional athlete and the agent, they already know there's numbers that are already there. Whatever those numbers are. Let's say it's $135 million. They already know it's there. They're not going to all of a sudden take that from us. So we can start there. Now Josh Allen's numbers come in. So we erase that out of the way. Now we start at 150 to start with.
Okay.
We know that's there.
Well, maybe, and maybe you also wait for this, and that is the number one overall pick from that draft class, Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, dare I say, finally found their quarterback after a quarter century of trying to get the guy that is their franchise quarterback, a guy that can lead them to winning, which he's already starting to do, and maybe big-time winning, which some people think that the Browns have in their potential. So let's go to Emmett Golden, ESPN 850 Cleveland. This is from primetime on ESPN Radio.
What this Josh Allen deal did was set the floor for Baker Mayfield. That's exactly what it did. Right now, I guarantee you that as soon as they saw it, Baker Mayfield's agents called Andrew Berry and said, hey, are you ready to talk? And you know what it's going to cost you now. It's going to cost you more than $258 million because Baker was the number one pick in that draft, and there is a premium for guys that are selected number one overall.
Yeah, I have a problem with this from Emmett. What does it have to do with any? Why does where you're picked have to do with anything in regards to how much you should make in your second contract? By then, it depends on what you are for your team. Being the number one overall pick doesn't mean he should make more money than Josh Allen.
No, he won't. That really doesn't have anything to do with it. You can be the number one overall pick and be really, really bad, and that you're not even going to come close.
We've seen
it.
Guys like that.
And so I think Baker Mayfield will fall. They're all going to be around each other. Okay, whether it's 150 guaranteed or whether it's 145 guaranteed, whether it's 258 or 257 or 300 over 6 or 350 over 7, they're all going to fall within an average of $40-plus million a year. It's just what it's going to be. One guy gets 43, another guy gets 42, another guy gets 45. That's what it's going to be.
All in the same range.
All in the same. Everybody will be able to have nice vacations.
The point is, for Cleveland especially, You can say number one pick, and that's the reason why he should, you know, that sets the floor for him, if that's how you want to put it. But I look at it as, if you're Cleveland, you understand more than maybe any other franchise outside of the New York Jets how hard it is to find that franchise quarterback. You've got him, lock him up, don't make it an issue, and stick with him.
And look, Baker Mayfield will not be seen by the other teams that potentially, if he was to ever hit free agency, in the same light that the Cleveland Browns see him in. Mm-hmm. He works perfect for Cleveland.
Yeah, his value to the Browns.
Yeah,
would not
and that doesn't mean
market.
That Cleveland should try to lowball him.
Right.
It just means that he's perfect for Cleveland in their situation. Why try to do something crazy and lowball him, have him ticked off to where the point where he wants to leave and go through all? Just pay the dude.
Yeah, don't make it uncomfortable because you finally found your guy.
Just pay him.
Absolutely. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, why Tom Brady was getting booed in Canton at least 6 years before he's even going to get inducted. That's after we talk about DoorDash. So DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. Stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
What a privilege to be inducted into this brotherhood, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, with all of you.
Football carved out a place for my favorite quarterback, my hero, my role model, my dad, Archie Manning, to pass on something he loved to me.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Kings. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key today with you. And over the weekend, man, we missed a lot when we were gone. A lot of stuff happened in sports, but just most recently, Hall of Fame ceremonies in Canton for football. And we had two classes because obviously the 2020 class, that was postponed due to COVID. So they had Saturday, and then the 21 class had Sunday. And we thought, let's just kind of get a taste of all the different speeches that were given, some of the best sound that we heard from Hall of Fame weekend. So you ready to go with this? You want to start Saturday in the 2020 class? Let's do it. We begin. I like this one. Let me see. Edgerrin James. Let's start with him because he's a guy that warned everyone about judging a book by its cover. The way his look, he said, people just assumed he was a certain way just by dreads, gold front, stuff like that. So the way he closed his speech was certainly memorable.
To all those who have been judged prematurely because of their appearance, the way they speak, where they come from, and in the minds of many should be locked up in prison, I represent us. I'm forever immortalized, locked up in the Canton Correctional Institution. Inmate number 336 in the Pope Football Hall of Fame. My career started with gold teeth and ended with this gold jacket. Good night and God bless.
So he opened up, he actually, the number, like I guess what number he is in the Hall of Fame, was in the jacket. So he opened it up, he saw it, that's why he said inmate 336. But his speech was basically about how people assumed something about me just by the way I looked, the way I wore my hair, the gold teeth and all that stuff. And he said, don't do that. Don't judge people by the way they look. And it was interesting.
No, it was interesting, but I got a funny Edgerrin James story. So I'm playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we're in doing the season, and we're standing on the sideline, and we're with one of our main executives. And he went on to become a general manager. I'm not going to blow him up, but we're standing there, and we're talking about the draft and players and stuff like that. And his particular area was the Miami Hurricanes. And so he says to us standing there, I really didn't realize how good this Edgerrin James was. So we were having a conversation. And we looked at him like, wait a minute, man. And you're supposed to be a general manager in the waiting?
Yeah, you're supposed to know.
Interesting. It wasn't Rich McKay. Let's just say that.
All right.
It was somebody that became a general manager eventually that said that. We was like,
Gary.
Like, oh, gosh.
Well, that leads us to our next guy. So Isaac Bruce. All right. So he, again, of the 2020 class. Isaac Bruce, talking about people who didn't know someone was good, he closed his speech reminding person he would not name that didn't think he was fit for the NFL.
To the nameless voice that called me 2 weeks before the draft in 1994 to let me know that the NFL wasn't checking for me. They didn't like me. They like more of NFL legend Bertie Manuel and Ryan Yabara. I know you're alive. I know you're listening. I pray God keep you alive for this day. So my message to you is, Rap legend Kool Moe Dee wanted me to ask you, how you like me now?
How you like me now? Now, I think you could figure out what team that might have been if you go back and look. Was it Ryan Yarbrough? Is that who he's talking about?
Ryan Yarbrough. Yeah, yeah, Ryan.
So
that was the New York Jets.
Yeah. That's what right? I think he's talking about.
But, how you not?
But how
do you
I,
not
I just
know.
Love that. I love that he said that. That he was told he wasn't going to make. Like, isn't that amazing?
And but to, I to saw. Get that far. I saw Isaac Bruce come from Fort Lauderdale to Los Angeles to go to junior college football, and I knew that he would be in the pros and wrecking shop. But didn't forecast he would put on a gold jacket until obviously he was playing in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw in junior college,
you like, saw talent.
Come on, man. Like, yeah. What do you look like? Yeah. People just don't know what they're looking at sometimes, I guess.
It happens. It certainly does. But for somebody to actually call him and tell him, like, yeah, no,
man,
you're
you'd
not.
Be, you'd be surprised. You would Jeez. Be surprised at some of the things that scouts and personnel people say to players. And you like, that's why people always, you know, I'm always joking. I'm like, and that guy
yeah.
is the guy. Look at him. He's the guy that's going to decide your future. Yeah. Just look at that individual.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, I think we all knew Peyton Manning's future. We all kind of felt like he was going to be in the Hall of Fame at one point, and he was part of the 2021 class. He was one of the bigger names in the class. And as part of his group, Tom Brady, who was there with him to celebrate. Now, Tom Brady is not going to be in Kent anytime soon. In fact, who knows when he's going to retire. But Peyton Manning did acknowledge having Tom Brady there.
My good friend Tom Brady is here tonight. By the time he is inducted,
and he lets it go too. He lets it breathe.
By the time Tom Brady is inducted in his first year of eligibility in the year 2035. He'll only have time to post his acceptance speech on his Instagram account.
I love that he paused and let the crowd boo for a while. That was great. Meanwhile, how about this from Bill Belichick? It was in the Boston Globe, so I'll read it to you. He said of Peyton Manning, he's definitely the best quarterback I've coached against. There have been quarterbacks who called their own plays, but nowhere near the same what he did. He basically did. He called every play by adjusting or changing the play once he saw what the defense was doing. Just really raved about him. And I guess you could say the best quarterback he's ever coached against, but week four, he will coach against Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, that – yeah, he still probably throw a little zinger that way. He probably won't backtrack.
You don't think he'll say it afterwards?
Nah, because he's game planning for week four already.
It is interesting he would say that right now, though. The best quarterback I've ever coached against.
Yeah, because he's game planning.
I just threw that out.
And
there.
once he takes care of Tom, then his is already on the record.
Yeah, you got to feel like that game is going to be special. October 3rd is going to be special, no doubt about it. The one team that should give up a first-round pick for Jimmy G, that's coming up next. Stay with us.